Neither Mastin nor Ray believes that clever packaging allows a company to put out a bad-tasting product. The taste of the product itself matters a great deal. Their point is simply that when we put something in our mouth and in that blink of an eye decide whether it tastes good or not, we are reacting not only to the evidence from our taste buds and salivary glands, but also to the evidence of our eyes and memories and imaginations. And it is foolish of a company to service one dimension and ignore the other. In that context, then, Coca-Cola's error with New Coke becomes all the more egregious. It wasn't just that they placed too much emphasis on sip tests. It was that the entire principle of a blind taste test was ridiculous. They shouldn't have cared so much that they were losing blind taste tests with Old Coke, and we shouldn't at all be surprised that Pepsi's dominance in blind taste tests never translated to much in the real world. Why not? Because in the real world, no one ever drinks Coca-Cola blind. We transfer to our sensation of the Coca-Cola taste all of the unconscious associations we have of the brand, the image, the can, and even the unmistakable red of the logo. The mistake Coca-Cola made, Ray says, was in attributing their loss in share to Pepsi entirely to the product. But what counts for an awful lot in colas is the brand imagery, and they lost sight of that. All their decisions were made on changing the product itself, while Pepsi was focusing on youth and making Michael Jackson their spokesman and doing a lot of good branding things. Sure, people like a sweeter product in a sip test, but people don't make their product decisions on sip tests. Coke's problem is that the guys in the white lab coats took over. Did the guys in the white lab coats take over in Kenna's case as well? The market testers assumed that they could simply play one of his songs, or part of one of his songs, for someone over the telephone or on the internet, and the response of listeners would serve as a reliable guide to what music buyers would feel about the song. Their thinking was that music lovers can thin slice a new song in a matter of seconds, and there's nothing wrong with that idea in principle. But thin slicing has to be done in context. It is possible to quickly diagnose the health of a marriage, but you can't just watch a couple playing ping pong. You have to observe them while they're discussing something of relevance to their relationship. It's possible to thin slice a surgeon's risk of being sued for malpractice on the basis of a small snippet of conversation, but it has to be a conversation with a patient. All of the people who warmed to Kenna had that kind of context. The people at the Roxy in the No Doubt concert saw him in the flesh. Craig Coleman had Kenna sing for him, right there in his office. Fred Durst heard Kenna through the prism of one of his trusted colleagues' excitement. The viewers of MTV who requested Kenna over and over had seen his video. Judging Kenna without that additional information is like making people choose between Pepsi and Coke in a blind taste test.